Hey, what's your outlet? So I can plug you in on this week's episode of Smiley Said It. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020. And last week we celebrated Juneteenth. So happy belated Juneteenth to everybody. What a great day it was. I hope you guys had a wonderful week. I did. I ate a lot of good food. And I've been catching up on Grey's Anatomy. I'm on the fourth season right now. So I'm heavily invested. And so also I'm emotionally attached to this show. So Shonda Rhimes, shout out to you for doing an amazing job on this show, because my goodness, where have I been? Now, a lot has been going on the past week, and I wanted to get into a little bit of that and also talk about some other things. So let's dive right on in. So, you guys, another senseless shooting happened just recently. Andres Guardado, he was 18 years old, and he was just shot in the back 7 times, you guys, 7 fucking times as he ran away. He was working as a security guard at an auto body shop. The police pulled their guns on him and he ran because he was terrified, and they shot him. They shot him 7 times. Not only that, all right, this happened in LA, but they broke all the cameras and took the DVR, which they pulled a warrant for. So all the surveillance cameras that were around the crime scene, they took them away. And you wonder why we're angry, right? We know they didn't take it away for anything other than to cover their asses. And that means that we got to do a lot more work to make sure that the footage and the evidence will be used against the officer that is responsible. So rest in peace, young man. I'm so sorry to his family and loved ones. Justin from Chicago Sun-Times. 104 people were shot and 14 people were fatally shot over Father's Day weekend in Chicago. Terrible, terrible news. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Just horrible. And a 3-year-old boy was taken after being shot while riding in a car with his father in Austin. A 3-year-old boy. Three. My nephew is 3 years old. And that, it just hit me, you know, like a 3-year-old child being murdered from a bullet. It's just, I will never fucking understand such a cruel, inhumane action against a child, whether it was strayed or not, whether it was intentional or not. It's horrible that people don't have no regards to children, the presence of children. So rest in peace to those who lost their lives. And also I'm sending my prayers to those who survived such a horrific act of ignorance, and I'm praying for your healing. So now let's get into entertainment news. And a few things have happened over the week and over last week. Idris Elba, let's talk about him. One of our favorite Black British actors who has, for the most part, been non-problematic. And but over the weekend, Idris decided to promote a t-shirt that that said, "Take my art, take my culture, take my fashion, but don't take my life, take my music, and take my science." Now on the t-shirt, it had the word life and had it crossed out, meaning don't take my life. But everything else that I just listed were pretty much open for anyone to take. So I gave my opinion on it, and pretty much I said it was trash. The moment I seen that shit, I was like,
here we go! Here the fuck we go! Here the fuck we go!
And then what made it worse with the whole thing was, like, he said Juneteenth, right? On his Twitter caption, he said Juneteenth in a black and red heart emoji. And it said, never say die. And I'm like, well, if it says never say die, why would you kill off our identity and everything we have, right? Like, it would have been best if he would have just crossed out every single thing on the t-shirt, right? Like, don't take our science. Don't take our music. Don't take our culture. Don't take our life. Like, that would have just been easy, but I don't know who dropped the ball and said, hey, don't take our life, but take everything else, right? And it's like, who is this shirt for? That was my question. You know, I was like, well, who is the shirt for? Because from my understanding, he's a black British. And what is he referring to? Our culture, like black American culture? Is he referring to like the culture in general of the black diaspora? Like, it was just so like non-specific in a way that it just made it seem like our lives mean everything to us. But I mean, science, our science, take our science. So you have people that were saying like, oh, y'all know what he meant, and you're always bitching about something, and da, da, da. And it's like, not really, because the shirt said what it said. He deleted it and somewhat apologized, I guess. And that was that, but I thought it was just a dumbass idea. I really thought it was dumb, and I'm glad he deleted it and glad he gave a semi-apology for it, whatever. He didn't argue about it, which is good. Good job. But yeah, it was just wrong, so. And hopefully he runs, you know, certain shit like that by someone before he decides to post it. It was just tone deaf, you know. I'm not canceling him. It was just simply fucking tone deaf. So on to the next news that we have over here is J. Cole versus No Name. So No Name, a female rap artist, had posted something on Twitter. So No Name subtweeted somebody and J. Cole felt like it was directed at him. So the tweet that she wrote was in regards of how all these woke rap artists out here aren't speaking out and showing up. So the original tweet said, poor black folks all over the country are putting their bodies on the line in protest for our collective safety, and y'all favorite top-selling rappers not even willing to put a tweet up. Niggas' whole discographies be about black plight, and they know where to be found. Now, while I do agree with that, I'm not sure what made J. Cole come out and, I don't know, say anything in regards of him believing that it was about him, but he did. He responded by releasing a song called Snow on the Buff, and, you know, he pretty much responds to her in the lyrics, and the lyrics read, she mad at the celebrities. Low-key, I be thinking she talking about me. Now I ain't no dummy to think I'm above criticism. So when I see something that's valid, I listen. But shit, it's something about the queen tone that's bothering me. Now, he doesn't actually mention her in the song, but we all know that's who he's talking about. I mean, he actually apologized shortly after this entire debacle. But yeah, as someone said on Vulture.com, Cole is presumably talking about No Name's recent tweet where she called out quote-unquote top-selling rappers in general who haven't used their platform to show support of Black Lives Matter. He continues by assuming that No Name had quote-unquote parents that know about the struggle for liberation. But No Name herself had to read more about activism and capitalism after being dragged by Twitter last year. Now, let me touch base on that part right there, because No Name was in deep hot water just up until, I believe it was like last November. No Name was up in arms about Black people not supporting her at her shows, and she was tired of seeing white faces in her audience, and how she pretty much said that like rap artists such as Megan Thee Stallion and SmiNo and DaBaby all have like diverse crowds more than she does. And she also mentioned, what's funny is most Black artists are just as uncomfortable performing for majority of white crowds, but would never publicly say that out of fear and allegiance to quote unquote money. And she also continued to say, when I go to work, thousands of white people scream the word nigga at me. And no, I'm not changing my art. So it is what it is. So pretty much she was upset that she wasn't making her art accessible to us like SmiNo and Megan Thee Stallion were, because in the beginning of their careers, they weren't charging crazy prices for their tickets. They were performing at smaller venues. They weren't at these big major festivals that she was at, you know what I mean, when she was saying this shit. So I looked at her a little bit sideways, because I'm like, so you're mad because you're putting content online for free and you're not getting paid for it, but as an artist, who the fuck cares, right? Like, you're creating, you're a creator, and you're mad because you're not getting the money, which is pretty capitalistic to me. Like, I create free content all the time, majority of the time, especially on YouTube and on Instagram. And you're not going to see me bitching and moaning because I'm not getting paid as much as I would like to from my Black audiences, right? And it's well known that if you see a lot of white people at rap concerts, they're going to say the N-word. They're going to say nigga, nigga, nigga all day, every day. They just are. And so it just seemed like she was deflecting off of the main reason why she was mad. And I didn't understand how she was putting in other artists involved in her debacle. But anyway, even though she pretty much made money off of those white audiences because her ticket prices were well above the demographic of her audience pertaining to her Black supporters. So I just want to put that out there because, well, it's important to know that No Name was not really fucking with us just up until late last year. And now she's on her activism and learning. And so I guess she wants to call people out, which she has a right to do, you know. But I guess J. Cole felt some type of way. He came out with a song, and she released a song right after that called Song 33. she stated she isn't too proud of how she responded to J. Cole after those two bumped heads. And, you know, after subtweeting someone, No Name, haha, get it? No Name, she subtweeted No Name. She apologized with how she responded by releasing the song called Song 33 to J. Cole's song called Snow on the Buff. So pretty much these two great artists need to just sit down, have a conversation, sip on some wine, talk about the activism that they've been doing in the community. Because like I told a friend of mine, I said, we're all doing activism in different ways, right? We can focus on different things. Some people focus more on the LGBTQ community within the Black community, which is great. Some people focus on the redlining and defunding the police department. There's so many different avenues you can take, right, as an activist, because there's so many lanes that we need to address pertaining to the Black community. So, the issue that I had with J. Cole in that sense was just his tone more so, and that whole idea that we have to address, you know, men a certain way, you know, when it comes to our pain or when it comes to our concern about what they're doing, you know, involving themselves in the Black community, right? So tone policing, that was my major issue with J. Cole, was how he responded about her tone, and to teach us, you know, teach the Black men how to be more informed. And it's not the Black women's job to teach Black men how not to be a misogynist. It's not a Black woman's job to teach him what he can do better, right? Just as much as we have an opportunity to pick up a book, so do Black men. And I think the fan base with No Name and J. Cole right now are going up against a whole misogynoir, addressing pretty much how Black men treat Black women, and that's where it's stemming from. I don't believe that this conversation should go beyond these two, outside of what they're already solving, because they both apologized, and hopefully they both can move forward and join together and actually have real conversations. We could talk about misogyny. We could talk about that all day, every day, right? If that's the focus of the conversation, then let that be the focus of the conversation. But these two clearly are strong-minded individuals with an ego, right? So I believe that they should just let it go. Hopefully they both learn something. Like, if they have an issue, to just simply talk to each other. That's it. Yeah, moving forward. Hopefully they worked it out. And up next, we have B. Simone, who's a social media influencer and also a book author, which, by the way, she's in hot water about her book called Baby Girl, Manifest the Life You Want. And she's accused of plagiarism. So let's get into that. So according to Complex.com, she's quoted saying the following: y'all know me. I have been vulnerable, transparent, honest about my whole career. She also explained that she wanted to make a video to address all the accusations surrounding her book, but the situation is now a legal matter, so she can only lightly touch on the topic. She says the following: I had a vision to create a book for young women to change their mindset and have them manifest, because that is how I feel. I became successful in life. Me and my team outsourced, keyword, outsourced, even though she claims to be the author of her book. All right. She then goes to say, we hired a team that we trusted, that we thought could bring my vision to life, and they did a lot of things without my knowledge. Although she claims to be unaware of plagiarism, Simone says that she takes full responsibility as a CEO of her brand. She then says, I have reached out directly to every content creator that was disadvantaged, and I'm doing everything I can to fix this issue and make everyone a whole. Even though this was not intentional, I'm still so very sorry to the content creators, and I understand their frustration 100%. So pretty much her book is like a guide into how to find the best version of yourself. You know, it's about manifestation. It's about how to be a boss. It's about how to be self-sufficient. It's about knowing what you want in life, et cetera, right? There's plenty of books around that has that type of message. And so for her, she, I guess, didn't check or didn't read exactly what was being published and sold before it got into the hands of her consumers. That's all I can think about, because as a CEO, you want to know, where exactly are you guys outsourcing? What does that mean, right? By outsourcing, when you're the creator, it should be about your perspective, right? Unless you say otherwise. So for me, as an example, if I'm creating a book, it should be my thoughts. It should be my experiences, because that's what people want to hear. They want to hear her thoughts because they're a fan of her work. They want to know how she's preaching all of these great things online, and then she turns around and sells something that has the words from other people. So it's not her thoughts. It's not her her wisdom that she's giving to her fan base that supports her. So a lot of people are coming out and claiming that their work is in her book. And I decided to dig. And it's true. Unfortunately, a lot of the pages that are in her book are stolen, word for word. Literally, there's no effort in changing things around. I don't know who she hired to be on her team, and what legal action she actually has against her right now. But she's in a lot of trouble because, from what I see, it's a lot of word for word plagiarism. It's just not looking good. So, rightfully so, people have the right to be upset. They spent their money, their hard-earned money, on someone that they supported, and it's not even their thoughts. You know, it's not their thoughts that they're looking for to change their life, you know, or at least to help it become better in that sense of whatever sense she's trying to steer them into. So now also, just about a few weeks before this happened, she was in more trouble. This girl just, unfortunately, I don't know, has been in the news, but she dug herself into a deep hole when she pretty much said that she's looking for a man who's self-sufficient and a boss, you know, a man who doesn't work 9 to 5. She doesn't want that. She has a preference, clearly, for the type of man she wants. And it's not a man that works 9 to 5. She wants a hustler. She wants someone like her who can understand when she's working all the way up until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. because a 9 to 5 type of guy would never understand her as a social media influencer, right? Which I think is pretty much crap. And I'm gonna say why. A lot of people that have a 9 to 5 mindset or 9 to 5 job, actually, I hate that 9 to 5 mindset because no one has a 9 to 5 mindset. 9 to 5 is just simply the hours, right, of most jobs, corporate usually. It's usually 9 to 5. For some reason, we have this stigmatization on what a 9 to 5 job is. A 9 to 5 job, you can still make 6 figures. You can still make a lot of money working a 9 to 5. How you think, you know, psychiatrists or even doctors and nurses and a lot of other people in the industry of the medical field, how do you think they make so much money, right? That's hustling. That's another form of hustling. 9 to 5 can be a hustling type of job. And it depends on what you do, of course. But most jobs, a lot of people are comfortably living. You know, they have benefits, health benefits, health insurance, and a retirement plan, and so forth. But most people with any sense, if they're dating someone who's in entertainment or a social media influencer, they understand that content needs to be like it needs to be ongoing, right? If you slow down on your social media page, you will lose followers, you will lose interest. And so you have to keep going. And I think in her mind, someone who's doing different types of things, you know, whether they're an artist or, you know, they have a construction business or they need to be doing all these different things, you know, to understand where she's coming from. And that's not true. So I do believe that she should break that mentality a bit down. Break it on down, girl, because you have to understand that not everybody wants to be in entertainment. But that also doesn't mean that you're not understanding of what comes with being an entertainer. So she should change that around because you might be missing a blessing. You might be missing out on someone who does have a 9 to 5 job and actually does understand what you do, right? As a social media creator and, or as a influencer, and they can make a lot of good money as working a 9 to 5, because what else job is there to look for when you're looking for a hustler? What does that mean? If you're looking for a hustling mentality, And you just filter all that out by just saying that this person can't have a 9-to-5, which a lot of people, most people do have great degrees in, high degrees in. You're missing out. You're going to miss out. So I do believe in leveling up, as Sierra says. But I believe her, I get where she's also coming from the perspective as women in today's generation, we should be focused on having the best, right? Which is subjective. Everyone has a type. Everyone doesn't care how much a man makes. As long as he makes something and brings home the bacon and does his part, they don't really need a man that makes even six figures. They just need a man that's responsible and giving and takes care of his business and his family. And there are some women that want men with a specific income bracket. They want a man that makes well over six figures, and they have that right as well. You know, I don't believe in shaming someone for wanting a man that makes a certain amount of money, right? That's fine. And I also don't see what's wrong with women not wanting a man that makes a certain amount of income, because that's just not their priority. That's just not their focus, because they believe that what they provide as a woman is enough, and whatever their guy provides in their relationship is enough. So the outside world can't really dictate what works for an individual. But when you carry the mentality of, you know, I want a boss, I want a man that, you know, takes care of me, I want a man that I feel comfortable with and trust, knowing that I don't have to pay for bills. I'm not going to be the person that, you know, has to lend my car to him, et cetera, et cetera. But that's fine. But again, we have to understand exactly what you're asking for. And when you put that out in the universe and you act confused when people say, what do you mean you don't want a 9-to-5 guy? I feel like she should have just simply said, I don't want a guy that makes 9-to-5 money according to my standards, right? And it still wouldn't have been enough, because again, 9-to-5 doesn't equate to a certain tax bracket. It doesn't equate to not being on her level, right? Because as a social media influencer, all that can be taken away from you. It's funny that I'm watching Grey's Anatomy and catching up. If you're a surgeon, if you're a brain surgeon, a heart surgeon, and your hands gets crushed and completely injured, or it has to be, and you have to lose your hands, you can no longer operate. You know, you lose your income of a surgeon because your hands are your everything. You know, for those who've seen Doctor Strange, one of my favorite Marvel films, that's what happens. You can lose everything. So you want to be really careful with what you wish for. As a social media content creator, if you plagiarize other people's work, that can be the end of your career. And then what else are you going to do, right? Are you going to go back to quote unquote hustling, or are you going to get a 9-to-5 job? Because a 9-to-5 job is guaranteed for the most part, you know? So you got to be really careful what you ask for, because you don't want someone that has the same schedule as you either, you know? If you work all the way up until like 4 a.m. and your partner works a 9-to-5, at least you guys get to see each other, you know? But if both of you guys are constantly working crazy hours and you guys barely get to see each other, with the lack of communication that involves having that type of relationship, it will never work out. And I think she needs to understand all that matters is communication, you know? Because she can be dating another social media influencer or an artist, a rap artist or an athlete, and she may not get to see them because their communication isn't so great. So would you want that, or would you want a 9-to-5 person that you know exactly what time they get off for the most part, you know when they get home, and y'all make time for each other? So the bottom line is communication, not 9-to-5. You know, that's just simply a schedule. A set schedule. Sometimes people work overnight. Sometimes people work overtime. And also, some people have a 9-to-5 job to save up money so that they can do what a creator wants to do, right? It costs money. It costs a lot, actually, to fund your creativeness. So some people do the 9-to-5 while they create, and some people just simply want a 9-to-5 because it's comfortable. You know, it's reassuring that they have a job. So I don't know. Hopefully, you know, she learned her lesson. When you come out and talk about these things, just have better context and have a better understanding of exactly what you want and what you're saying. I wish her the best. I don't really pay attention to the girl like that, but she seems to have a lot of fan base. But I will say, I cracked up laughing when someone was like, she reminds me of a crank yanker from Comedy Central. For those who know that show, Crank Yankers. Because she's so loud, and she has such a loud, pronounced, you know, energy to her. So yeah, that's my message about that whole thing. Maybe she just needs to chill out for a little bit until this whole thing blows over. I don't know. But yeah, the whole 9-to-5 mentality is pretty not cool, because it doesn't exist, right? So now I want to get into why exactly I don't watch Insecure on HBO anymore. Created by Issa Rae. I gave up on Insecure about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, it was about going on almost a month. It's crazy. I stopped watching Insecure for about a month now, because I was not liking the direction of the show for a while now. I was beginning to feel like too many writers were involved, or too many outsiders were involved, and it wasn't becoming genuine to me. The storylines were all over the place, and I was really confused about Kelly's character, because as someone who is a protagonist, right, she's a cast member on the show, and she's a friend. I wasn't liking the fact that we weren't getting her hero's journey. And her hero's journey just seems to be at a standstill as being the Black, you know, fat, oversized, undesirable woman, and being the wingman, or being the comedic relief, right? And the over-sexualized friend who just can't have a stable relationship. She has to be, you know, fingered under the table in public at a restaurant, and she has to constantly be super aggressive, right, when she's picking up a guy at a party, and she just has to always talk about sex and talk about all these crazy things. And it's like, why can't she be more? It reminds me of Monique in Soul Plane. And I just didn't like it. I was really becoming actually infuriated, because it was intentional, it seemed. After 3 seasons, her character development remains still while everyone else has been doing their own thing. And it's like, well, what about Kelly? If I had Twitter, I would be like, hashtag, what about Kelly? Like, what about her family? What about her life, you know? And I was just feeling like it was becoming a caricature. I felt like the show was one big caricature of African-American lifestyles by overusing, you know, AVI, African-American Vernacular English. It wasn't sincere to me, right? I'm not on the East. I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Boston. But although the show was set in L.A. and you have people that are from L.A. saying it's very close to our L.A. lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera, I get that. But at the same time, it just seemed like it was so over the top, you know, again, caricature in regards to our culture. And when it came to Issa's, it was at the part where Issa had her block party and she had a poetry slam. And one of the poets that were on stage, right? If you remember this, one of the poets that were on stage was being so like dramatic and like cliche, like, I feel you, you feel me, and together we're gonna be blackness. Like, it was just very, you know, blah. And I don't know. I feel like also the fact that about 60% of the viewers are white, it makes sense. It's like, okay, who is this for? Because it doesn't relate to me and my blackness as an African American. It doesn't relate to a lot of the things that I know of. And it's just, it became too much for me. It became confusing. I wasn't understanding the direction of the show. And now that I've missed about 3 or 4 episodes and looking at what other people say about the show, it makes sense. Like, a lot of people are feeling the same way now. Like, where is the direction going with this show? Every single time I tuned in, it was either predictable, where I was like, okay, this is going to happen, you know? And it was becoming lazy. The writing was becoming lazy. And you could tell that more people with different perspectives of how the show should go were involved. And it was just being pulled and tugged in different directions. And unfortunately, a lot of the viewers are catching up to that. So I hope, because I heard that they renewed for another season, I hope that Issa can buckle down on pretty much the accuracy. Like, it's becoming too performative for those who don't live the Black American lifestyle in LA. And a lot of things need to be flipped around a little bit. It needs to be flipped around on that show. So that's why I stopped supporting Insecure, because it just wasn't becoming my taste in regards of what it was in the beginning and what I expected it to be, especially from Issa Rae, who had Awkward Black Girl on YouTube before any of this. So that was more relatable than what Insecure is today. So yeah, that's it. And lastly, I wanted to talk about MTV. For the past couple of weeks, I have been going live. I've been giving my commentary on a lot of the episodes that were on The Challenge and The Real World, how they tolerated racism. So I've been giving my commentary on that because MTV seems to be one of the most racist TV networks on within Viacom, because they've been on, MTV has been a thing since like the early 1980s, right? And they've always displayed unfairness. They've always displayed tolerating racism on their shows and homophobia as well on their shows by not kicking off racist and homophobic people that are cast members, because to them, controversy and ratings and making people of color and minorities, including the gay community, including the trans community, feeling like they have no space to defend themselves because they allow it. So I've been calling them out and I've been enjoying it. So if you guys want to check that out, make sure you go on my Instagram page. That's Miley_adventures on Instagram. And if you check my highlights, you'll see They Don't Care. That's the name of one of the highlights where I actually saved all of the reviews I've been doing. So next up, we have an ignorant asshole, a white male journalist who is gay. And his name is Chadwick Moore. And he's on Fox News and also a Trump supporter, a conservative, and every fucking thing in the book of fucking ignorance that is happening today in America and what it represents. So this idiot decided to get on his Twitter account and just, for some reason, I don't know. Like, it happened on Saturday, June 20th, 2020, recently. That's just 3 days ago. He decided to get on his fucking platform and say the following. I'm sorry, blacks. 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 He said blacks, by the way. He says, I'm sorry, blacks, but you already have a month. Juneteenth isn't it. Don't colonize our month. He says, I'm sorry, blacks, but you already have a month. Juneteenth isn't a thing. Don't colonize our month as well. Thanks. Signed, the gays. Wow. So he decried Juneteenth an annual holiday, which is commemorating to the end of slavery in the U.S. And he says it isn't a thing. So our independence in this country isn't a thing. Because to him, we're not liberated. A lot of racist people believe that we're not liberated. And they act so. They literally act that way. They wish that we were, you know, their slaves. And that they can just tell us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it when we're just minding our own business. That's where you get all the Karens. It's pretty disturbing, right? So I just wanted to break that down as to what he said, and why what he said was one of the most disturbing tweets I've seen from a Fox News journalist in a while. And I'm still baffled, but let me break this down as to what he said, okay? Blacks. That's racist. Whenever you hear a white person say blacks, those blacks, the blacks, a black, typically it's rooted in racism, and it's another form of saying colored people. It's generalizing. It's literally saying just that. So whenever you hear that, just letting you know, it's most likely rooted in racism. He then says, already a month. You already got a month. Juneteenth isn't a month. It's simply a day. June 19th. And Black History Month is literally celebrating the Black American leadership that has impacted our generation today to be thriving and to be strong. Why wouldn't we be celebrating such a thing? And it's the shortest day of the month, right? But for some reason, white people be like, well, what about White History Month? That's every day. That's every month. That's in your textbooks around American school system. It's all about white history. It's on TV networks. What do you see mostly? America is literally rooted in as being represented in the white culture, the white image, right? Why do you think there's so much policing on our bodies? Why do you think there's so much policing on our hair texture? How we can't even wear natural hairstyles to school or to work, but it's also appropriated in fashion, right? Such as Marc Jacobs allowing his white models to wear dreadlocks and saying, oh, but Black women wear weaves and wigs, to implicate the fact that they're trying to imitate whiteness. It's deep as fuck. And if you choose to ignore that, then you're literally just simply choosing to be on the wrong side of history. And that's a problem. And that's a problem that you're going to have to face yourself. We're not going to throw you information and textbooks and shit like that at you for you to understand that. You have the resources in front of you. You just don't give a fuck, right? And if you don't give a fuck, just say that. We'll be fine by you saying we don't give a fuck. About our blackness, about our history, because it's already shown every single fucking day in this country in every way possible. And making it to be politically correct at that, and erasing our history by pretending that people, Black leaders, such as Malcolm X, didn't exist. And also making it seem like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was this person who was all about love and equality. When he was fed up pretty much damn near right before his death, he was like, fuck all that noise. We need to be fucking doing more. We need to be fucking on the Malcolm X side. And people don't like to talk about that, right? Whenever you see white people quoting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., They never show the real side of his mentality and what he was fighting for, right? Of course, equality, we should all get along. But there was more to him. But they don't like to quote his other radical side, funny enough. Anyways, when he also said, you know, Juneteenth isn't a thing. It isn't a thing. Because in his racist mind, he can easily erase history because white fragility and guilt is too much to bear. It's too much of a burden to take responsibility of your ancestors and to take responsibility of your people today and how they are behaving today. It's too much to bear to know that it had to take a specific day of independence for the rest of the slaves in Texas to gain their freedom, right? Because it was all bullshit as to opposing what exactly was freedom, right? The emancipation of proclamation, like, what was freedom at that point? What did it mean? What did it define? What did it give us, right? If there were still slaves that weren't actually freed, because a lot of slave owners didn't give a fuck about the law. They didn't give a fuck about the written law. They didn't give a fuck about none of that shit, right? So we had to have a specific day to be like, all of us are now officially free in this country. And when he said, colonize our month, who is he talking about when he says our month? He's talking about white people. He's talking about white gays, right? He's talking about those people. So when he said that, I took it as though he's saying, you know, hey, this shit don't belong to y'all. And I'm like, wait, we can never colonize something that was created by us. Thanks to Marsha P. Johnson, rest in peace. If it wasn't for her, a black trans woman, y'all wouldn't have this month. Y'all wouldn't have the celebration that occurs today. But again, erasure. We love to erase Black American history when it's convenient, you know? And so in Chadwick's mind and of the mind of others who think like this fucking imbecile that lacks a chromosome or two, he believes that Black people cannot also be part of the LGBTQ plus community. And it's exclusively for white people. Can you imagine that? Talk about colonizing. That's colonizing. You know what I mean? That's also oblivious and just like completely wrong. You know when something is so wrong and so stupid and inaccurate that you don't have the words to actually describe your disdain, your anger to something that is so oblivious and so wrong. it's very frustrating to know that this guy says signed the gaze. Well, who is the gaze that signed that statement besides your ignorance, besides those that perpetrate your ignorance and believe that this month only belongs to white gay people? Like, huh? It is giving me very much of white feminism. It's giving me International Women's Day and how Black women and trans women are excluded from International Women's Day every fucking year. And it's almost as if like people fail to realize that intersectionality is strictly too much to fucking bear. It's too much to want to understand. And for those who are listening who don't understand, right, what intersectionality is, I am hoping after you listen to this podcast that you do your research, because you will then have an understanding how you can be Black and a trans person. And also, you know, handicap, and also Muslim. You can be all four things. You can be so many things and still be representing each individual identity without someone trying to erase it because it's too uncomfortable for them for you to express your identity amongst their circle, right? How dare you be Black and gay? How dare you be Black, gay, and Christian and or Muslim, right? How dare you be anything outside of what I feel comfortable of accepting you as? That's what we need to talk about. And unfortunately, this idiot and like-minded individuals will forever carry on that ignorance because it's comfortable to them. It makes sense to them, right? Anytime we have to challenge our mindset, and anytime we have to believe that everything we've always known to be was wrong, that's a hard pill to swallow. But at the same time, is it, when you actually have the resources and the history and the facts available for you, right? If I feel some type of ignorance in my heart and soul, and I say, hey, I don't like this particular group of people, and I don't research exactly why I don't like these people, and every single fact debunks my ignorance, and I still continue and choose to be ignorant, you're gonna die that way, right? You're gonna die being a fucking parasite of ignorance. You're gonna be one of those people that are dead and never lived to understand anything outside of your comfortability of existence. Anything that you're not familiar with that makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean anything to you because it's too much to bear. It's too much to focus. Anything outside of my identity and anything that I don't understand makes me uncomfortable. So you know what? Whatever makes me uncomfortable is wrong. That's a lot of fucking baggage, you know? Like, it takes a lot of energy to remain ignorant. It takes a lot of energy to remain a narcissist. It takes a lot of energy to be like, wow, I don't like this particular group of people because I don't understand them. I don't understand their history. So instead of researching and understanding and learning, I'm just going to remain in my uncomfortable bubble of ignorance because I don't want to do the work. I'm too fucking lazy as a human being. I'm too lazy. You can have all the degrees in the world. You can be working for the Supreme Court, like I said. You can be a doctor and still remain fucking ignorant about the world. Even though you're a doctor and you have a residency at a hospital, you can still remain a fucking ignorant person. And someone can also be smarter than you that doesn't even have half the education and half the student loans bearing on them that you do. So let me make sure that that is clear, all right? Because there's a lot of fucking ignorant people in government official positions and also that are in medicine that are dumb as fuck. Because give me the amount of money, give me the amount of years and the right teachers to teach me something and I will learn it. But that doesn't mean that I'm knowledgeable on anything else that actually matters, right? You could teach me how to be a mechanic. You could teach me how to be a police officer. You can teach me how to be anything. But that doesn't mean I know everything. And for some reason, this complex disorder of people feeling like because I have this, because I have that, I know it all. Because my white skin is the right skin, why should I fucking learn about anything else? Why should I care about all these Black dead bodies that are being taken by my race from ignorance and bigotry and racism and classism and xenophobia? All this shit is just fucking piling up. And a lot of people are now realizing, wow, now I gotta face the music and I really don't want to. I really don't want to, but I'm forced to because if I don't, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my house, I'll lose my family, I'll lose this. And now people are realizing like, wow, I guess I do now have to not be ignorant anymore. And that's sad. That's really fucking sad that you're afraid of losing your shit, everything that you have, because you don't want to give up racism. You don't want to give up none of that shit, you know? So I'm gonna wrap that up with pretty much saying fuck you And I really hope that you learned that no one gives a fuck about your ignorance, because we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep thriving. We're going to keep supporting ourselves and uplifting each other. And all that ignorant shit is loud noise in the background. You know, it's loud noise. That's it. You ain't changing nothing over here. You don't change history. You don't change the facts of what life is because you feel like it's too uncomfortable for you. All right? Wake up. This is life. This is real life. This is what you were born into. This is the world. This is the earth. This is humanity. This is what it is. And I'm sorry that you were raised or taught that anything else outside of that is what matters, because it doesn't. All of us fucking matter. Black lives, all black lives fucking matter. Period. And until all of the black lives matter, and as long as the all black lives don't matter, your life don't fucking matter. And that's the bottom line. So, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. I'm sorry for the delay. I was supposed to upload yesterday on Monday, because Mondays is supposed to be the day that I upload on my SoundCloud account. Mondays are supposed to be the day that I choose to upload in order to be consistent for you guys. But yesterday was a pretty loud day in my building, so I didn't want to record and have a lot of background noise. So thank you guys seriously for tuning in and supporting my podcast that I just started, and also my Instagram page and my YouTube channel called Smiley Said It. And that's where I have my documentary of my life and upbringing and the foster care system. And it's called Almost Home. So be sure to check that out. And you can also find the link in my description box. So I wish you guys nothing but the best. Hopefully you guys have a great week. And I'm going to try to do the same. And I will talk to you guys next Monday. So take care. God bless. Peace, love, and happiness.